welcome to Faces of CI. My name is Aaliyah. Today we're going to have more conversations in contact. We are joined by Andy. We're just finishing up the Momentum Contact Facilitator training here in Ubud, February edition. Andy, would you like to introduce perhaps your name, where you're from, where you're living currently, and a bit about how you got started in contact improvisation?
Sure. Thanks for inviting me, Aaliyah. I am originally from the U.S. My parents came from Taiwan, but I grew up in the U.S. And for the past 5 years, well, in the U.S., mostly in San Francisco, then New York, and then I've been in Portugal for about 5 years. And I really started my dance journey right before I landed in Portugal, so it's fairly recent for me. I started kind of movement through Five Rhythms in New York City, and then continued with ecstatic dance, and there's a practice called Biodanza that's pretty popular in Europe. I'm not sure if it's kind of spread this far. And I accidentally joined a contact improv festival in 2020. I didn't know what it was, and I just kind of showed up at this thing, and it really scared me. Everything about it made me uncomfortable and feel out of my element. But it also looked like fun. It looked like this, I imagine, like standing outside a window, watching all these people have incredible fun, but not knowing how to knock on the door and come in. And it was really frustrating. But it planted a little seed. And I don't think I ended up having fun at that that festival. Maybe I met a lot of very nice people, and that also was, I think, dance for me is a lot about the community and friendships that I can make. So I think that was also another clue that this was a community I wanted to be a part of. And so I just slowly started taking workshops and learning more about it. And the more I learned, the more I liked it. And so now this is a much more important part of my life.
What was the festival and who were you training with this time?
It was in the Algarve in Portugal. Mm-hmm. Vega and Hugh were leading were kind of the resident teachers. So it was, they were there. I didn't even know who they were at the time, so looking back, I was really privileged to have them there and to help them. And they had great energy. They're beautiful dancers. And I remember Hugh really, for some reason, the way he spoke about contact really hit a nerve in me, really kind of connect. I connected with how he was speaking about it and the why of contact.
Yeah, Vega was one of my first teachers when I wanted to do more intensives. I went to Aaron Bowl, and there's this spike. I think she didn't have dreads then, just like spiky hair and a glitter top, and she would dance contact in a glitter top that would get all over everyone so you knew who danced with her. And she was just like very alternative, and I was like, oh, you can be weird and be a contact teacher. I guess I can be a contact teacher. And she was on my first episode of Faces of CI, so she was the first one that I interviewed, because I was like, I just want to talk to her more. She's so cool.
Yeah.
So we have that connection. And what is contact improvisation to you if you're at a dinner party and someone's like, what is this thing?
I get asked that every day I've been here. I tell people I'm doing this contact improv facilitators training, and people say, what is that? And I can't describe it. I usually pull up a YouTube video.
Yeah.
but generally, I think I It's really hard to explain. I usually say something like that it's different from other dance forms, and that that it's mainly in contact with another person, sharing weight, creating separate structures, and completely improvisational, not scripted. But I don't think it means anything to anyone that hasn't seen it or tried it.
Yeah, it's hard to describe a dance form, really. Like, I've just been saying dance meets martial arts meets meditation. That's the easiest thing that people can digest. And I definitely have gone through the period as well. If people ask me, I'm like, I don't know, I'll send you a YouTube video. Because it's just difficult. So I love that.
And I think the word is a little bit challenging because most people jump to improv comedy. They hear improv.
Yeah.
And so they might think more acting. So they're not even thinking about movement quite yet.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's aspects of theatrics and humor and contact, absolutely, anyways. So I try and recruit comedy people because they're naturals with that. But it's just the embodiment is a different thing. Yeah, any more sharing about like your journey into finding dance? I know you were saying you were not a dancer before. We had some journaling questions yesterday during the workshop about like, what is a dancer? What makes someone a dancer? Like, what has your journey been into being a dancer?
Yeah, I think what I grew up, My heritage is Asian. I grew up in a small town in Ohio. And dance just wasn't part of our lives. We were never invited to dance. Dance was only part of like the junior high school experience. Mm-hmm. And for me, I always felt outside of the group, so dancing at the junior high dance was always like the most frightening, frustrating experience I had, if I even went. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I carried that fear for a long time, a long, long time. And even after I didn't have a fear of showing up, I felt like if I had to dance, I had to like learn the steps or dance well, you know? I would hear other people say, oh, that person dances so well. I was like, what does that mean? And for me, I just didn't, it wasn't in my body. Music wasn't in my body, movement wasn't in my body. Sports were in my body, so we did a lot of sports when we were growing up. I did several forms of martial arts. Some judo, some taekwondo, some jiu-jitsu, but dance as a creative expression, dance as a non-judgmental activity, mm-hmm. It wasn't even something I considered. And so I remember actually when I moved to New York, I knew it was going to be kind of a challenge to move to New York. So I promised myself, if I go to New York, I'm going to learn how to dance or learn how to enjoy dancing. I remember I have this journal that I was writing.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, I was going to learn how to enjoy dancing.
Yeah.
And I was going to take improv comedy classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so lucky. I was on the airplane on the way to New York. And I just sat next to this. This is back in the day when people used to talk to each other on airplanes.
Yeah.
And I ended up talking to the woman next to me about New York. And I said, oh, I just journaled. I'm going to do these two things. And she said, oh, you should look up Five Rhythms in New York. Mm. And I wrote it down. And I kind of ignored it for a while because I was working a lot. And it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I just went to a class and I liked it because it was in the dark, there's no talking. So all the interesting thing about Five Rhythms is that it removed all the social pressure. You're not really quite visible because it's dark. you're not talking, there's no kind of idea of trying to interact or attract someone else. So all of that was really helpful for me to drop in. And it was guided, so I really enjoyed the guided process. And the other thing I had is, I used to wear glasses before I got LASIK, and I would take my glasses off, and I was mostly blind, and that made me feel like no one else could see me too.
Wow. Yeah.
And that actually allowed me to kind of like dance like no one's watching.
Yeah.
And it was probably my first taste of kind of freedom of movement I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And I continued doing that for a while, and that morphed into ecstatic dance. You want me to continue?
One more? Well, no, yeah. Five Rhythms is such a great, like, I don't know, supplementary practice as well. We have it here in Ubud. I've gone a few times, and now not so much with my schedule, but I'm more and more interested this year. I started listening to more Gabrielle Roth interviews just because of her idea of, she's the creator of Five Rhythms,
yes,
and like healing and dance and spirituality and dance, and she has such beautiful things to say from her crossover between therapy and movement that I think also is very beneficial to the contact improv world or people who are wanting to access dance but don't have they're afraid of it, or they're not in their body about it, or they have an injury about it, or whatever it is. So it's such a beautiful
thing. I'm so grateful for that chance conversation with that woman on the plane.
We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So Solo Body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then Two Bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home. The beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca, because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that, and there's a promo video. And also, please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees.
And this is actually a lot of the interest for me in wanting to teach dance, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are similar to me, and that they never grew up dancing. They never considered themselves good dancers, and I feel like there's plenty of classes for people that are good dancers. Mm-hmm. you have opportunity galore, but for people that don't, haven't discovered it, I feel like I kind of live that fear. Mm-hmm. And so I really gravitate towards trying to help people who haven't ever enjoyed moving to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, wonderful. That was one of my questions, is like, why do you want to teach dance? Why do you want to teach contact? So this is, do you have any more on that? Like, yeah,
I mean, I think a lot of it's that, but also I really enjoy, I didn't know, the first time I led a contact improv session was just to fill time, like literally. So I operate a retreat center in Portugal, and we had just this block of maybe 4 or 5 hours to fill during the week, where we had the mats laid out, everything was ready, and my partner, Susie, she said, why don't you just lead a contact improv class? You love it. And so I just put it out there, and six people showed up, and I just really enjoyed it. It was something I never envisioned that I would ever do. Mm-hmm. And I got excited about it. I think about it. I think about how to make it enjoyable, safe, fun experience for the students. I get excited about learning different things that I might not have been experienced in, but I can basically just research and learn on my own or practice. So everything about it I enjoyed. Yeah. And so I've just been leaning in a little bit more.
Yeah, it's wonderful when you put out an offering and it's received well right away and you're like, ah, and it sparks something in you. So, yeah. Do you want to share a bit more at all about your retreat space? Because this is the space that you have in Portugal, you're saying, outside of Lisbon, and then you're like kind of starting community through this center.
Yeah, there's this, the house is in a town called Ericeira. No one will be able to spell it. Ericeira is how you would pronounce it. Mm-hmm. It's known as the surf capital of Europe, so a lot of people go there and move there to surf. My retreat center is more of a wellness center. It's mainly for week-long retreats for people that want to do yoga or breath work or different types of healing modalities. And I love, first of all, meeting all the facilitators and all the people that pass through the house, but also on kind of the off weeks, I get to use it. So we use it for parties, or I can organize my own little mini events. And so it's been really nice to get to know the community. And right now we have a nice little group that I regularly see, and I'm not sure if I would have been able to create that without the house as kind of the center point.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. So we're all gonna come to Portugal and visit Andy's retreat center.
Please do.
Cool. So yeah, just maybe also sharing a bit more about this week. We've done a bit more of a shorter time frame just for both Andy and I this time, but he's basically gone through the Momentum Facilitator training and sharing a little bit perhaps about the week, your journey from then to now. I know it's been like a lot to absorb information-wise, but anything to share from this time together.
I mean, I'm really super grateful for all of this one-on-one time we've had. It was... On one hand, before coming in, I was, I really love meeting new people. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit sad that it wouldn't be a bigger group. But then I was like, oh, I get to have this one-on-one time with this amazing teacher. So it was balanced. And then it was a nice little negotiation we did. And then we joined it with the workshop. And then I got to meet all these people and get a lot of one-on-one time. So I felt like it was a great result.
How was it for you teaching yesterday? So you did teach them a little bit each day, was part of the training. How was your experience in teaching?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was, there's something about teaching in front of a teacher that raised the anxiety level for me, but I felt pretty comfortable. The class was really supportive, but I liked it. And you know, where I forgot something or you know needed a little bit of clarification, you jumped in. But yeah. I didn't feel like it was kind of taking over kind of my authority of teaching that exercise.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have that support.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were sharing before, like, you've been teaching for about like 6 months or so, and now it's just like time to get a bit more like the technique in. And so this is the point where I come in and I'm like, this is the technique. I think it's a lot of influence from EDM and training in Canada, but like, yeah, general disposition of like being a teacher and offering like with help and care and kindness towards students was really beautiful to watch you do like one-on-one with others and really be attentive to the group. So like appreciative of your energy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed, I think the beyond the technical pieces that you taught me, I really enjoyed really seeing kind of the maturity of your style in terms of managing the room, managing the group, managing the day, managing the sequence to mm-hmm. keep a flow, keep the energy high. It's something that I haven't really thought. I guess I never realized how much thought it went into this.
Yes.
Now I'm like, oh, there's a reason why some people run really good workshops and some don't.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of trainings and just also observed like energy drop or people get exhausted and get energy like injured, or they just like walk away. They're frustrated with the teacher's ego or whatever happens to be. So it takes a lot. It's I don't know, like classroom management is not something people think about when they're like, I want to be a contact teacher. They're just like, I want to contribute to my community, which is also a beautiful intention.
Nice, yeah.
And huge part of it at the same time. So yeah, we had a nice smaller group to play with the last couple days. Yeah, any other challenges or celebrations for you at this time?
Celebrations. I mean, I just feel, I think before this workshop started, I feel like just getting through to the end, still feeling high and excited and happy is like really, for me, really great.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have sometimes a habit of a little bit of a fear of succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
So this for me was just like something I really wanted to do. I had an intention to do. I came here and finished it, and for me that's like a big win.
Yeah.
And I think I do that in many other aspects of my life, but for things I want, I don't. Usually other things take over. And so this was something that was just for me, and I feel really happy to have done this.
Okay, I feel to end with my favorite question, the last question. What brings you the most joy in contact?
What brings you that? I really love the jams where I get to dance with a lot of bodies, and there's a little bit of feeling of, okay, I've had a dance with someone and it wasn't that great, but I still went back. And I went in again, and then I had a really nice dance, and then just that idea that it's always different, and then I can just choose to go in and have another chance of feeling joy. And for me, that's, I don't know, that's a little bit of a big change in my mindset, you know, like where in other forms of activities, if I had a bad time, I would might just leave. And so with contact, I don't know, for some reason I keep wanting to go back, and I feel like there's that's what it's about. It's not about having a great dance every time. It's just having the willpower and knowledge that you will have a good dance eventually.
Yeah. There's always room for joy. Yeah. I like that bit that you shared. There's always room.
Yeah. And I love it when even when there's someone else who is just getting started, if I can contribute to their joy, their enjoyment of that jam with a little dance, that really gives me a lot of pleasure as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's so many things about it. I think it's a hard question to answer, actually.
But it's different each time we've gotten, you'll listen to other episodes. Everybody's got a good different joy of contact moment anyways. Thank you so much for sharing and for your energy and time here this week. If people want to find out more about you, is there a space online? Is it through your retreat center? How do we get in touch with Andy?
Instagram is usually how people find me. Mm-hmm. My Instagram is charlopants, which is spelled just like it sounds. maybe you can leave a link in the podcast.
Okay, we'll put this in the show notes as well as for your center. But so
I can give a shameless plug for the house. The house in Portugal is called Casa Aira, which is also hard to spell.
Okay, well those will both be in the show notes. Yes. So thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you, Leah.